Well, the Abbott government is poised to replace the age of entitlement with the age of opportunity. That's its take on the 1,200-page report from the Commission of Audit, which has made 86 recommendations for deep spending cuts, many of them highly contentious. Commission Chair Tony Shepherd says the proposed measures would deliver massive savings to restore the budget surplus.
We've given the government a solution which is of the order of 60 to 70 billion. Now, the government then has a range of opportunities itself through the revenue side to correct the problem. So, I mean, I'm not saying they should pick and choose too much between what we're saying and what they want to do, because I think most of our reforms are sensible in of themselves, but they do have some flexibility there.
Well, full coverage of the Commission of Audit report throughout this morning on RN Breakfast, but let's start in Canberra with our political editor, Alison Carabine. Alison, good morning.
Good morning, Ellen.
Busy week.
Busy week, busy government.
Well, the Commission of Audit report, I mean, it's really breathtaking in its sweep. Very few aspects of life are untouched. We've got radical changes to health, to education, to pensions, to family benefits, taxation, the public service, even, you know, going back to how we bolt the Federation together, federal-state relations. It really does suggest they've taken this idea of hockey's, this end of the age of entitlement, and fleshed it out.
The hardcore philosophy that underpins the Commission of Audit fits very neatly, Ellen, with the government's own view of the world, and that is that government should only do for people what they can't do for themselves. The Commission report, it's ugly, it's harsh, but if the numbers add up, it will deliver significant savings. Tony Shepherd's talking about $20 to $30 billion each year by 2017-2018, growing to as much as between $60 and $70 billion. That's each year by 2023-24. So they are very significant savings, which could be achieved over a decade. But you don't save that kind of cash without cutting very deep. Many of the recommendations go directly to the 15 fastest growing areas of government expenditure: health, education, pensions, family benefits, to name just a few. The Treasurer won't be drawn on which of these measures will be adopted. They generally fall into three categories. They are the ones that will be accepted, the ones which will be rejected outright, and those which are at least worthy of debate. Joe Hockey, in no doubt that a number of the proposals will horrify the public. Let's have a listen.
I want to lay down to you, this is not the budget. This is a report to the government, not of the government. And we have carefully and methodically gone through the recommendations. There are a number of recommendations that would be described as courageous, to use a term familiar to some in Canberra. There are some recommendations that represent common sense.
So that's the Treasurer in full yes minister mode. It will now be up to him and the rest of his government to test the waters and work out which ones are common sense and which ones are just too courageous for any sensible government to pursue.
Yes, we owe a lot to Yes Minister, don't we? That's very courageous, Minister. What about the opposition, Ali? This must be manna for heaven for Bill Shorten and Labor. There's some obvious critique to be made of this in terms of suggestions of broken promises. But are there dangers for Labor in how they deal with this?
Yes, there are. I think, first up, the government has just made Labor's job a lot easier. It's an incredible break for what's still a very new opposition. But there are also risks for Labor, and it goes to the issue of economic credibility. The opposition flatly rejects this notion of a budget emergency, but there are structural problems with the budget, and if Labor goes in too hard and is too obstructionist, then it will be accused of not taking those problems seriously enough. Let's have a listen now to Bill Shorten.
Of course, tough choices have to be made, but it is important that we make sure that in making these choices, that we don't have twisted priorities and broken promises. It's important not to hurt the people who go to work every day, who pay their taxes and are building our communities. We want to make sure that what the Abbott government does is fair to ordinary Australians and doesn't hurt them. We want to make sure that the government keeps its promises rather than breaking its promises. And of course, we want to see to make sure that what is proposed in the budget is economically sensible.
And Chris Bowen, who is the Shadow Treasurer, he'll be joining us later on Breakfast. He set down three criteria for deciding which of these proposed cuts are indeed economically sensible and could therefore be supported by Labor. They go to the impact on the budget, fairness, and where they sit when it comes to the coalition's pre-election commitments. And that's one area where the government is particularly vulnerable, Ellen, the question of trust and broken promises. Already we've got Tony Abbott and Joe Hockey facing some blowback from their own backbench coalition MPs, especially unhappy with this proposal for a deficit tax. But the challenges now facing Bill Shorten and Chris Bowen is whether they can do unto Tony Abbott what Tony Abbott did unto Julia Gillard over the carbon tax.
It's a pretty detailed blueprint that the Commission of Audit has come up with. As we were saying earlier, the best people can do to some extent to get that across is just to hold up all five volumes in front of the television camera. But this isn't the government's document. Fight Back, which I guess was a comparison, described as the longest political suicide note in history, was a coalition policy. So what are the politics for the coalition here? It's not their document, but they seem to sort of be endorsing the vibe of it, if you like, as one commentator has it this morning.
Well, it is the starting point for the federal budget, and as we've discussed, it does fit with the government's general philosophical view of the world. It is definitely a risky strategy because it's already opened up the mother of all scare campaigns. We've heard Bill Shorten, he's not mincing his words, a blueprint of broken promises, everyday life being turned into a massive struggle for working families. That's the opposition mantra that you'll hear plenty more of over coming days and weeks. And there is very real potential for this to spread fear and loathing throughout the community. But it could just work for the government because, basically, they've used the commission process to do this massive dump of bad news and to blame it all on Labor for the mess that the government is telling us that we are in. But there is no way the budget is going to be as toxic as the Commission of Audit come budget day in a week and a bit. And there will be, I think, a massive sigh of relief across the country when the government rejects the worst excesses of this report. So the budget's bark, I think, will be much worse than its bite. And the government has given itself some pretty handy cover when it does announce on budget night which measures it's adopting. It won't come as an electric shock to anyone. Everyone would have been well prepped for what's coming. And of course, the government can always cite the objective advice from the audit commissioners, though some would question just how independent they really are.
And so finally, would there be a danger here, given the momentum that's built up around all of this, the levy and the various cuts, the Prime Minister's speech this week about the family tax benefits, if there's a sense that the government squibs it and doesn't follow through?
I think that's the bigger danger for Joe Hockey and the government, Ellen. I think the coalition has done a good job warning the community of the structural problems facing the budget, the need for sweeping cuts to return the budget to a strong surplus. But if it all gets too politically hard for the government and we only see the more politically palatable measures adopted, then the government loses very serious credibility. And it is the right time in the electoral cycle to tempt something daring. But let's not forget the government will have to get whatever it adopts through the Senate, which will be a rather fractious, unpredictable beast come July the 1st.
Thanks very much, political editor Alison Carabine.
Thanks, Ellen.
And Alison will be back throughout our program this morning.